This episode of Worst Ever Podcast brought to you by Songfinch. Songfinch is a personalized gifting platform that brings your stories, feelings, and memories to life through one-of-a-kind songs from scratch. Using your unique stories along with your desired genre, vocalist gender, and song moods, they curate the perfect professional songwriter to handcraft the most personal gift you can give. This thing is awesome.
Okay, so wait. Tell me how this works.
Okay. You ever have, like, somebody in your life who you want to give a gift to, and you're like, I don't know what to give them. They have everything?
I have so many of those people.
Okay. Well, that's what's awesome about this. So this is what you do. You go online. You basically fill out a small questionnaire, and it's like, what are some funny memories you have with this person? How did you know this person? What kind of genre do you want? Do you want hip-hop, rap, musical styles, like country? Do you want a pop song? Do you want a female vocalist, a male vocalist? You basically put all this stuff in there. They, like, stir the pot, and 7 days later, they give you a personalized song.
Sort of like a Mad Lib thing. You fill in the blanks.
And then
it's for every occasion?
It could be for anything.
Like
so
a wedding?
I think weddings would be a
wedding song would be great.
That would be perfect. Or even like a rehearsal dinner where you want to do something like funny.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have to make up the song. Like they make the song because they have 250 professional musicians and those are just growing every week.
I should do that.
I know.
Could be a professional musician that writes songs.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right.
But think about like birthdays, Mother's Day. I mean, Christmas is perfect. And then your song lives on a personal URL, which is your story homepage, and you can listen to it, you can download the song, you can read the lyrics, you can learn about your songwriter, you can share the song. So I have a little surprise for you.
You do?
Yes, I made you a song for Christmas.
But you know I want, like, Starbucks gift cards.
Yeah, I get that, but you're getting a song, so you're just going to enjoy it.
All right.
All right. We're going to play it live. Oh, I'm really excited about
it. I hate you right now.
I'm so excited.
I know it's evil.
So you guys know about Ala and I have known each other a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Some key points are the fact that I mispronounce certain words like amphitheater. Okay. There's just some really funny inside jokes about how long we've known each other. In fact, he eats all of my food all the time when he comes over. So anyway.
I do the drive over, so you should supply the food.
Okay. Here you go. Enjoy and Merry Christmas.
Started wondering how my pronounce it amphitheater. My fridge would have more food. I'd have nobody telling me that my outfits are hideous, or invite themselves to the hospital and cover George's birth on live text. I just have to tell you you're the worst. No one else could get on my nerves better. Something about the two of us works together. I love you, but I think you're the worst ever. Hey, girl, hey. I'd have no one to laugh with me over vodka soda lines. Also have a lot less opinions to hear, and release forms would always be signed. I just have to tell you you're the worst ever. No one else could get on my nerves better. Something about the two of us works together. I love you, but I think you're the worst.
Oh my God, that's
is that not genius?
Amazing.
Do you love it?
I absolutely love it because it's so fucking great.
It's so great.
But wait a minute. So we should have them do like our theme song for the live show.
I know. I agree.
So how do we, how do we get?
So if you want to get your own personalized song, go to songfinch.com, enter code WORST, and you can get $20 off your song.
Yeah, we got to do this. We need to do it, like, a lot.
I mean, I think this is the most genius gift you can give someone. It's so unique. It's so one of a kind.
And
love it.
And it's so professionally done. And it's, like, your very own song.
Yeah.
It could be a hit. Like, I want to release it on iTunes.
I've listened to it, like, 15 times. Unfortunately, it's been stuck in my head for 2 days. So, you're the worst. But anyway, I love you. Merry Christmas.
Can we release it on iTunes?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. I'm glad you like it. Enjoy. This episode is with our friend Dave Hull. And it's very befitting because you would know him from the musical comedy Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, I love him.
I know, me too.
He's funny.
He's so cute.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever
Welcome
Podcast.
Welcome to Worst... You bitch.
I almost got it all out.
Damn it. You try. My head was turned. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Alaa Khaled, and that's Christine Lakin.
And
thank you, Christine. Anyways, we have a special guest.
And I'm Christine Lakin.
Right, got
Thank
it.
It's getting me live even more when I listen.
Yeah.
Today on the podcast,
yes.
We have a friend of mine, a very special friend of mine. I've known him for a couple years now. We met through mutual friends. You would know David Hull from his recurring role on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as White Josh. That's right. You would also know him in his recurring role from Insecure on HBO.
Mm.
What's your name on that?
What a lead-in. You kind of...
I'm really sorry. My dogs have decided
I just
to go...
Can't. I am distracted by the dogs, but also...
I can't. No, stop it.
You kind of stumped me on the character name, so the dogs are a convenient alibi for me to gather my thoughts. But his name is Travis.
Travis.
I got there in the end.
Wait, do you have a last
what
name?
Shows again? No. I'm sorry.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and
okay.
Insecure.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, is that picked up?
They're
filming
we're
right now.
We're halfway through our third season.
Oh, okay, good.
Cool. Glad you're with us.
On the CW.
No,
which
I know
is
exactly
a network.
Where
it's a real network.
Yeah.
It's a real network. That's what
and
I say.
Your show's
That's
not
what
a,
I say about my show. It's a real network. You can find
you
it.
You can watch it.
You can get it.
Yeah.
And well, Pop is affiliated with CW.
That's well. There's
yeah, they're both
CBS.
Under the CBS overhead.
Yeah. Umbrella. But no, because you're probably one of the. There's not that many shows that aren't comic book.
Yeah, they do have a.
Show.
They do have a lot of comic. Assortment yeah. of true. Comic book shows. That's true.
And then they have one musical show.
They have one musical show, and they have some of those, teen, tween.
Vampire-y
right. drama, soap opera.
Riverdale,
yeah, that's a good one.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Dave.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
Exciting.
I listen, as you know.
I appreciate
so
it.
So this is thrilling for me.
Dave is basically at our house like almost every other Sunday.
Yeah.
And sometimes randomly on weekdays.
Sure. If anytime there's a text, I'll probably
I'm
show up.
I'm always so confused with you because you have people. You never call me to come over on another day.
I see enough of you, quite frankly.
You guys do have a real good love-hate thing going on, so
I mean,
it's nice.
I know, but it's just weird for me that because he's not been on the podcast, but like Chad Schwartzman.
Right.
Like he's here all the time, too. And I knew Chad before you.
Well, whatever.
And
I've known Chad a long time,
best friends.
I'm allowed to have my own friends.
No,
thank
I get
you very
it.
Much.
It's fine. I'm just, it's... we.
Listen, every time I've literally invited you over, you go, ugh, it's so far. But if we have something to do, then you'll come and do a podcast, and then you eat all my food anyway. So what does it matter?
Well, because you're a delicious cook.
Yeah,
what
you
did
do
I make
delicious
you
food.
You made some veggie lasagna.
Sneaky vegetable lasagna.
It was sneaky vegetable lasagna, but no, it did have turkey in it.
Right.
But there was a lot of sneaky vegetables.
And
I'm
had
glad
it was delicious.
Three helpings.
I did as well. And then Alaa did contribute something to the meal.
God.
Well,
should we call that a contribution?
A microwavable mug full of cake.
It's cake in a cup, Duncan Hines. You should try it. Comes in all kinds of flavors. Takes a minute.
There's
when you
definitely...
live on your own and you live in a studio, you're not baking a whole fucking cake.
No.
Wah, wah.
You're eating countless chemicals.
Countless
it's fine.
Chemicals.
Microwave.
Listen,
right.
I grew up in the South.
No
I
food
like
inside.
White trash southern cake.
You
That's
and me
like
both.
I like if you were in the South, I'd like to go to Publix and get a sheet cake from Publix. I like a Costco sheet cake.
I think
it's delicious.
I love crap.
Yeah, here's the problem. That's not specific to the South, I don't
but,
know.
No, but here's my thing with cake. Since we're talking cake right now and we're going to get into your career
in
a second.
No, let's talk cake this entire
but,
time.
Weddings disturb me because their cakes are too fancy and they're dry.
I feel you. You know why? Let me tell you something. I learned this when we were planning our wedding. A lot of the cakes are frozen ahead of time. They're not fresh. And if they're frozen, they're dry. Because when we, ours was not dry. However, the top of it that we froze, then you like eat a year later. Guys, stop doing this. It's not good. It's gross. Just buy a freaking cake at Vons and call it a day.
You need to take a bite of it. That's all.
But
you don't
it's
have
gross.
To eat the whole cake.
Why do you even have to do that? Who made that up? Someone in the 1950s was like, we're all going to die, and there might be like the commies are coming to get us and save your wedding cake. I don't know
because,
who made this up.
Maybe
it's like some
because
weird...
they're so architectural. They have, maybe they have to be frozen to get them to stack like that?
I don't think so.
I don't think they freeze them, Christine.
No, well, we tasted some, and they were previously frozen, and they were very dry and gross.
Just get an ice cream cake from Carvel.
I'm not a big ice cream, if it's put in front of me, and then I remember it's delicious.
Ice cream cake?
Right, but I don't go, oh, I need a fucking Carvel ice cream cake. Like, I don't, like, when I'm, like, cake shopping, I'm not going, oh, I should get a Carvel. Oh,
how about cookie cakes from a Mrs. Fields?
Yes.
Listen, I like a kiosk anything.
Sure.
So if there's a Mrs. Fields, listen, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Annie Ann's?
Yeah.
Annie.
I'm spinning off just on kiosks that sell trashy food.
Yeah, I like Annie Ann's.
Okay,
a subject about which I know very, very much.
Well, you're from the Midwest.
I am.
And I feel like, you know, the South and Midwest have a couple things going for them. And some of that is mall food.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, you got a lot of Cinnabon.
Sure.
I love a Cinnabon.
Great steak and potato. Do you guys have that?
Great steak and potato.
We didn't have
a great steak and potato. Steak and shake?
Steak and shake.
There's
delicious.
A steak and shake here now.
There is?
It's in Burbank.
Okay.
I know.
Because the furthest
I think we need
west
to go.
One was in Vegas for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of furthest west chain restaurants, there's a Waffle House in Phoenix.
Oh my God. See,
scattered, smothered, diced.
Can I tell you my dream?
Get in.
I have been dying, and I've been looking for investors to build a Waffle House in Silver Lake because I think every drunk person
will
go to the fucking Waffle House.
I actually agree with you.
You're right.
WorstEverPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to be an investor, please email us. Actually, I would probably go in on that.
I would. I'm telling you right now.
It will clean up.
It would be huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I can't explain the difference between Waffle House and Denny's. See, like, the West Coast is such a Denny's mentality, and I want to explain to people why Waffle House is different and better.
Worse. That's why.
No, it's so much better. Waffle House breakfast, for instance, like, the only comparison I can make in this town would be, and it's not the same, but the breakfasts are very similar, is Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, like, the Big Mama at Roscoe's, it's their eggs with onions and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very Waffle House kind of thing.
But you don't get the
my mouth is watering.
Okay.
The Waffle House is more of a, you know, there's sweat from the line cook in your grits.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
My dog is literally trying to sexually assault David. I don't understand what's happening. Why is he so attracted to you? Your pants are more white than they are black right now.
Listen, Cody's got a thing for me.
We have
a very special bond. Okay,
I call him Sherman.
We're good. We're good, baddie.
Here's the deal, dude. Stop playing with the dog and he'll leave you alone.
Well, no,
that isn't true.
Just,
he'll just lick me.
Sherman, get over here.
David has actually watched our dogs because he's such a nice person a couple
of times.
And he gets, I think Cody has like an unnatural
attraction
to David.
I think he just admires me and looks up to me and sort of.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, let's move on. I'd like to talk about your worst ever hairs.
Worst ever hairs?
No.
Oh.
Your worst ever hairs.
Oh, today?
Yeah, what
so
are you? You're about
driving,
to tell me something.
No.
I was driving, and when I sit at the light, I sometimes like do this. Can you describe it to the audience?
Picking at your eyebrows.
Yeah, I just pull on it like when I'm sitting at the red light or whatever.
Okay.
And there was one. I went like this, and I was like this.
Wait, like long?
like 3 inches.
Gross, dude.
And I was started freaking out going, it happens every once in a while. It'll happen overnight. Sometimes I'll have like that one gray that will come out, but this was a black one. And I was like, and I have beautiful eyebrows.
Oh,
and
we all agree.
Thank you. And so I was like freaking out, and I couldn't get it. Like I couldn't. So the whole time, like I'm driving, trying to. Which, by the way, I just got that State Farm like thing.
Good
that
driver
you,
bump.
Yeah, like the thing that you, to save money on your like, and I'm like driving like a maniac trying to get this eyebrow on. So I know I'm like lost.
You're trying
my
to
discount.
Find the long one again, or
not? I couldn't get it. Like I couldn't.
You were trying
like,
to pluck it.
Like it was sliding out of my fingers.
Oh, okay. You know what
I
mean? See.
I finally got it. I almost wanted to save it and put it in a little baggie for you so you could see it.
That
I was
is
like, no
not
one's gonna believe
necessary.
This.
It sounds worth saving to me.
No was one's like, gonna. I was like obsessed with it. Do you know what I mean?
You, yes, I do. You know who had the longest eyebrows I've ever seen in my life? Patrick Duffy. Like the longest. Like Stacey Keenan and I used to go up to him and literally pull his eyebrows down and they would come over his eyes. And we were like, you have got to trim those things. And he would like pull them down and then like come up to us and like get really close. And because he knew that we were so grossed out by him. And then someone would eventually trim them. But yeah, he had woolly
anyway,
eyebrows.
So that was my worst hair, eyebrow hair. Okay. I mean, it's an eyebrow hair. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an eyebrow hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David,
but
any
I don't, look,
worst
I don't,
hair
don't,
stories?
Anything to contribute on the eyebrow?
Anything to contribute on the eyebrow?
I do pull out my eyebrows as a nervous tic. I do the same thing.
That's called something.
Cody?
What's it called? What's the name
I
for that?
I swear to God.
Trichotillomania. That comes from my husband. He understands.
Thank you.
He
oh
knows.
My God.
The DSM. That's the.
But I don't like. I don't pluck them. I just play with them.
Yeah, you have issues, and you should probably see a therapist about that.
But sometimes it feels good to pull them out. No.
No, I don't pull them out. I just yeah, is I that like one. It.
Cody is back to looking
Cody's
Dave.
Cody's back. It's, so, I think it's one of those things okay. You just got to lean into it.
Okay.
All right. So tell right, me about Melissa your friend, because I don't know much about Dave. All right. You started out from the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from about an hour outside of Cincinnati.
You studied acting in the Midwest?
I did not. No, not there. I was, we didn't really have I wasn't from an arts family, so I didn't really know much about the arts.
Were you singing?
I sang in the school choir.
The chorale.
Yes, the chorale.
I was a choral kid.
And from that, I...
David, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have three brothers and a sister. They range in age from 36 until 18. I have an 18-year-old brother who just graduated high school, just started college.
Okay.
So we're all over the place.
It's a big family.
Right, I'm
one
just
in
trying
Chicago,
to figure out the chorale part
one
and how
Cincy.
You like transition into the...
No, I'm just trying to get
no,
a
just
picture.
Getting a little backstory.
You know, yeah. A backstory.
Are you the smallest one in the group?
No, I'm the second oldest. You mean smallest physically?
Yeah.
No, we're all about the same size except for my middle brother, who's a police officer in Chicago. He's like 6'2".
Tom, thank you for his service.
I will. He appreciates that, I'm sure.
And Black Lives Matter.
And that is also true.
He's in Chicago.
Yes.
All right.
He's in the northwest suburbs.
Okay, good.
He's not confronting...
Hashtag me too.
We
all
can't
right.
with you.
But it is worth tackling. Let's dig into that. So yeah, I was there. Oh, and while I was in the chorus, this girl, Laura Pichitello, asked me if I wanted to go audition for the theme park in our home. It's, you know, close to my hometown, called Kings Island. And that was when I was 16. You see this? You see this dog?
Yeah. Don't transition.
We're 69ing.
Stay with
my
us.
Dog is hot for you. I don't
stay
know
with,
what else
stay
to
with
say.
Just
really
stay with
in
us.
On that lower ankle hair.
Please, just stay with us. The audience doesn't give a fuck about the dog.
I don't know. They might. I don't know them.
If I talk about this dog one more time, I swear to God.
People are like, the dogs are annoying. Okay. Yeah.
But he is handsome.
Well.
All right, go ahead.
So Laura Pichitello got me to audition for that. And I was 16, and about 2 weeks before they started rehearsal, I got a call that I got it, and I imagine they went through, you know, everybody else, and finally were like, this kid's from here,
sing?
He'll probably take it. Oh, God. You mean in the shows?
No.
For my audition?
Yeah. You're what, 16?
Yeah. I think it might have been a, this is going to...
What I Did for Love?
No. Nothing
My
from,
Country to
Nothing
the
from
thee.
The legitimate theater.
A lot of kids sing the My Country to
no,
the
No, nothing
theater.
Patriotic either. I think it might have been God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that sounds about right. I could see that.
Oh, wait,
my,
that's
my best
is
guess. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, one of the two.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God.
That's Must Have Spent
song.
A Little More
a
Time
classic
on You.
Classic tune.
That's a good song.
Got me the job at the last minute. And I couldn't believe they were going to pay me money to... I did like 5 shows a day in an outdoor amphitheater called the Back Porch Stage. And we did Great American Country, Songbook. And it was, you know, 90 degrees and humid and...
How many people
probably
were in the group? What's the group called?
Well, the show was called, the first year I did it, I ended up working there for 3 years, but the first year I did it, my show was called Wide Open Country, which we all called Wide Open Cooter, which okay. we all thought was very clever at the
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I did a show called Graveyard Shift. And you guys.
Oh my God.
Have we talked about Graveyard Shift?
No, I don't know if we have.
This was around the time Universal Studios, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the theme park entertainment industry.
I went to high school across from Universal, and I worked at Disney.
Morocco
okay,
at
do
some
you,
point.
Then you really don't listen to the podcast.
I just remember from Dee Dee's episode okay. that there was a conversation about you being in Orlando, but I thought you were somebody's like
guardian. Just, we were friends. We were the same age. I was like a year older than them.
I kind of thought you had moved there for that job, for the Mickey Mouse Club.
No.
Thing. You lived
no,
there.
No, no, I was doing my own thing.
Okay,
just,
anyway.
Just go ahead.
Universal Studios had a show called, I don't
is
know what it's called.
Is this the Beetlejuice thing?
Yeah.
They had
Beetlejuice
sure.
monster show.
So I went to high school with Wayne Brady.
Okay.
And Wayne Brady was in the Beetlejuice show
was
at
he?
Universal. Yeah.
Who was he?
I think he was... one of the black guys in the show.
Great.
I don't know.
Way to typecast him.
I don't know if he played Beetle. No, I don't think he played Beetlejuice. No, he was.
They weren't into colorblind casting back then, I don't think.
No, I don't know. But he was, yeah, he was, he did it here too.
Go well, ahead. The overarching point of this is that they had a very successful show that was about monsters from the Universal catalog, but they just sang pop tunes.
Right.
So our park, which had no character catalog to pull from, wanted to do a similar show, so we did pop songs with slightly adjusted lyrics to make them about monsters. It was called Graveyard Shift, but it just ended up reading like a Halloween show, even though it was in the middle of the summer. It
I was going to say, this wasn't even in the...
June.
Okay.
May.
But oh,
it was the night show.
Nope.
What?
Five times a day. First show at 11:30 in the morning.
Stop wow.
It. Sound check at 10. I played Patch, a character. I had a second number arrival, which I think makes me the star. And I played the character Patch, who was put together from lots of pieces of other dead bodies in the graveyard because one of their bandmates doesn't turn up.
So are you guys in spooky makeup, the whole bit?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I had a Billy Idol wig and I had a Britney mic. I really thought I had made it. And we were doing a Halloween show at 11:30 in the morning in June. And the audiences sure. really ate it up. I can't sure. imagine why. We had very cleverly re-lyriced songs.
What company owns this park?
At this point, Paramount did.
Okay.
But Paramount gave us like no licensing except for VH1 had the pop show and CMT had the country show. But other than that, there was kind of no licensing affiliation, or like some of the rides were named after movies, but it was very loose. This
right.
was not a Disneyland type theme park, but the show was wonderful. My love interest was Medusa, who's not a monster, just from mythology.
Sure, yep.
There's also
really
Scare,
so
Queen
much.
Of the Fright, who is a combination of both Cher and I guess Whitney Houston because of Queen of the Night. I'm not really sure. But
what?
she wore the Bride of Frankenstein wig.
No.
Fully ripped that off from Universal, but also was just a monster. And then the lead was Dr. Frankenstein, who was the doctor who put all of this together. And my love interest, Medusa, and I had a sort of on-again, off-again thing until we sang Love Shock in place of Love Shack,
uh-huh,
as you
uh-huh.
can imagine. And they shock us, and we sing Do You Believe in Love After Life?
Can we
you
find
see?
This on YouTube?
Nope, doesn't exist. I have
gosh.
Scoured the internet, mostly so that I could have a lawyer strip it in case it did exist. But it doesn't, unfortunately.
Does the park still exist?
Yeah, park's still there.
David.
And apparently they brought back this show a couple years ago for Halloween, which makes sense. That one is actually appropriate. So there is video of that. But it doesn't hold a candle to our version, I think.
So
our
you were
version.
There for 3 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
then you, I mean... Listen, you're 16 to 19?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's good money when you're in high school.
Yeah, I think they paid, I don't know, it was like $300 a week. It wasn't a lot, but...
But at that time...
I sang like bullshit yeah. songs 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, you're not like carrying groceries. To
yeah,
car.
Exactly.
Right.
And everybody else was, you know, working minimum wage jobs at the mall. And I was going, I mean, I couldn't believe that they were paying me money to do that. We had a blast.
So then, do you continue to sing?
So from that point, a lot of people there, it was kind of a weird transitional year for that, because that park used to have kind of legitimate entertainment. So a lot of our performers were like in their 30s and would do that during the summer and do shows in Branson during the winter.
Branson, Missouri.
And Mo.
The tryout town.
Sure.
It's the city of sneeze guards. Welcome to Shoney's.
What sneeze? Oh, sneeze guards. Oh, at the buffets.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love a Shoney's buffet, and don't you say a damn
also
thing.
Also, Biblical
about
Dinner
I'm not
Theater.
Saying, I'm okay. just saying, you know, you got to have a sneeze guard.
Okay.
They have a lot of Christian themed dinner theater.
Yep. Yep.
So they would do shows there and in at Kings Island. And then there were also some university students who were on their summer vacations from their colleges studying right. their, you know, theater or vocal performance or whatever. So one of them went to Michigan and had me audition for his I auditioned there and at a school in my hometown in Cincinnati. Didn't get into that one, but I got into Michigan. They gave me a little scholarship.
Did you go
Michigan's
to
Michigan's a beautiful school.
Did yeah. you
did oh yeah you guys just went
yeah.
They have a theater program there. Yeah,
yeah? That's what I said.
Wait, did you know Lindsay Alley?
Mm-mm.
I think Lindsay went there.
Okay, well, great.
We're gonna have her on.
She's younger than I.
She's wonderful, but
she was
they
a
musketeer
as well
other,
oh
she's
and then after yeah. after college is when you went to New York.
That's right.
And
well, I went after my freshman year. I was gonna drop out and I was gonna move to LA. I was gonna go into music business. That's what I thought. And because I almost
like
went to
producing?
Nashville.
Like,
I don't really know, but I almost went to Belmont in Nashville for
okay.
music business. I think I thought I was gonna be a pop star, honestly.
Okay.
And I was like,
well, after doing, you know, Patch.
Patch. How could you not?
How could you not be a...
I sang
I mean, you
Walk
had a Billy
way.
Idol wig.
I did.
And
I sang
Shock.
Walk This Way almost entirely in my head voice.
Oh,
because
wow.
Was,
that's,
I couldn't sing that.
Sure.
We yeah, sang... the finale was Prince, Let's Get Crazy, Let's Get Nuts, with no lyric changes. It was just sort of celebratory Prince song. I sang another
Love
Prince song. Oh, Kiss. That's what I sang to Medusa to try and...
Is there a live band or is this just tracked?
No. All tracked.
Is there any track mess-ups?
Track mess-ups? Probably. We're operating on a very high-tech system here.
Okay, good. And so wait, you go to Michigan. You
yep.
stay through just your freshman year?
I stayed through my freshman year, and then I was going to go to L.A. with my friend Jenny, who still lives out here and works at Disney, and she just had a kid. But for some reason, I don't remember what happened. We had a falling out, or I don't know what happened. And so she went to L.A. I went to New York because I had a buddy from the theme park who was there, who was back. He had come for the summer and gone back to New York. That's where he lived. And his roommate had taken a job at a regional theater and they couldn't find anyone to sublet his room. It was in Forest Hills in Queens. And so I was like, I can't pay the $650 or whatever. It was super cheap back then, but I'll give you $300. I can give you $300 a month. He was like, I have no other options. So yeah, we'll just split. We'll split.
What year is this?
2003, 2004.
Wow, so that was kind of just like a random, I mean, it just sort of worked out
yeah.
that you went to New York and
yeah.
tried it out because
yeah.
some guy was desperate.
And I had such a miserable experience because I had no money. I was eating, I would have a waffle with applesauce for breakfast and a waffle with applesauce for dinner and then some street meat or something for lunch. That was like all that was all I ate. I lost a ton of weight. I got bed bugs.
Ooh.
I didn't have any air conditioning.
Oh, Forest Hills.
Oh, yeah. And I was sleeping on the hardwood floor because the bed was toast. And I would tie all of my clothes up in a plastic bag so that it would kill the bugs. You know, it was...
Jeez,
dude. It was rough. I was working two jobs and I was doing an internship. And by the end of that summer, I had no money. I didn't know what I was doing. So I went back to school. And I ended up finishing that out.
And you went where?
Back to Michigan.
You did?
Yeah.
Studying?
Musical theater. And then, and political science. I don't know.
Because you have to have that backup.
Yeah, it was a dual degree. I was pre-law. My parents, I took my LSATs when I graduated. My parents still ask me about it sometimes.
when are you going to use that, David?
Those scores expired about 6 years ago.
Cool, cool, cool.
So I don't think I'm going to be making it to law school. Sorry, mom and dad.
And
but
then,
I came to New York, and right away I was doing a show. One of my mentors at school also directed stuff out and around. So we did a show at the Goodspeed Opera House called High Button Shoes, an old Julie Stein show
yes.
that they insisted we were bringing into New York. And I'm still waiting on the call.
We're going to Broadway.
They made me keep a Bible of all the blocking for when we moved
in.
Did
you audition while you were in New York?
I did, yeah, a little bit. I had a couple months there between school and the job. And so I auditioned a little bit. And so anyway, while I was doing the Goodspeed Opera House show, I ended up getting the Wicked tour. So I went right from that onto the tour.
Oh, so you were on tour with Dee Dee Magno. And
that's where I met Dee Dee and Clifton.
And Cliff.
Yeah. And they only had one kid at that point. But
right.
Caden, I believe, was his name.
Wait, then you also know...
How long was that tour?
I was on there for a year and a half.
Wow.
And then I went right on to another tour for another year and a half. So I was out on the road.
Who'd you play on the Wicked tour?
I was just in the ensemble.
So were you there with Jenna Lee Green? No.
No.
No,
were
you a flying monkey?
I think she was doing it in Chicago. I was not a flying monkey, but I was a monkey that hung on the back of a sort of laddery grate and just flailed around.
Cool.
To make the audience think that more monkeys were flying than there were.
What was the weirdest thing? What was the next show you were on tour with?
A Chorus Line.
Oh.
Oh, the revival version of it?
That's it.
The one that they made the documentary out of?
Yes, that's the one.
By the way, wow. I saw that revival.
Are you in the documentary?
No.
Oh.
No.
Hold on. I saw that revival on Broadway.
Hated it.
If there was an intermission in Chorus Line, I would have walked out.
So sweet.
thanks for saying
in
so.
In fact, just while we're at it, I don't know who cast that fucking show.
Jay Binder. Take him to task.
He cast the actual Broadway, the revival.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible casting.
Why so? Give us your opinion.
I mean, he cast me. He obviously has no idea what he's doing.
Did you do the Broadway?
I did the tour.
Well, I'm not talking about the tour. I didn't see the tour. I saw the Broadway. Did they bring the Broadway people on tour? Did they bring the Cassie? Yet.
No.
Good.
Nance. What was her name? Oh, I know what her name was. I'm not going to say it.
Who did they bring?
No, the Broadway company was still open when we were out.
Okay.
They closed while we were still out. So
I wonder why.
What was wrong? What was
It was a casting thing. First of all, I'm trying to block it out.
I'm sorry you had such a terrible time.
Yeah, because I love the show. So I worked with Marvin Hamlisch. So if I saw Marvin, God rest his soul, if I saw him tomorrow, I'm like, what the fuck were you doing, dude? What happened? I mean, because it's a great show.
It's a great show.
He came when we were in Detroit and told us, thanks for working for the holidays. I know it's a rough time. I just got a new kitchen.
Listen, that guy is so funny and he's so dry. He got a probably beautiful kitchen.
I'm sure it was gorgeous.
Yeah. His wife is lovely too, by the way.
And
I'm sure she is.
Okay, the tits and ass girl.
Uh-huh.
What's her character? That's
Val.
Val. She had no tits, no ass. I was like, I don't get it. Like, it was like, who thought of this? And then who's the love interest with the director?
Cassie.
I mean, this girl, the ballet, the whole...
It wasn't for you.
It was not good.
Okay. Didn't like it.
I can't speak to it, nor can I defend it.
And, it was bad.
Wait.
I'm sorry you had such a terrible time. I actually never saw it, but I'm sure if you saw the tour, you would have loved it.
I hope it's better.
We played Orlando. I don't know if you were still there.
Where did you play in Orlando?
Dead Bob's, they call it.
Dead Bob's.
Yeah, it's called
Bob,
the Robert S. something.
Bob.
But all the stagehands call it Dead Bob's.
I forget. Look
it up.
Steve.
Okay. So three years on tour.
Yeah, 3 years on the road.
Dude, that's a long time.
It was a long time.
With Chorus
Line? Did you enjoy that?
No, a year and a half. Kind of back to back.
Keep up.
I had a blast. I probably had... Chorus Line did a real shady thing.
Huh.
They closed down the tour, and then they were going to go out this new contract. Jenna and I were just talking about this the other day, called CETA, which is Short Engagement Touring Agreement. So they were just going to have like split weeks and single weeks instead of 2 week stays, which is what we'd been doing. And because of that, the union allowed this new contract that was to kind of hold off all of the tours going out non-union, because they were basically like, if you want us to send it out union, you're going to have to give us a shittier contract because we're not going to pay it. We'll just send it out non-union. No skin off our backs. So the union gave them this contract called the CETA, and it was a third of what we were getting. So they were basically asked us to do the exact same jobs for a third of what we were getting.
But what was the difference? Like, just explain to the audience what that means, split weeks.
So, tours that were staying for 2, 3, 4 weeks in one city,
mm-hmm.
it costs the touring producers less because they don't have to move the set as much. Because they have to hire all these union guys, and they have to hire drivers, and the trucks have to drive them to the next town. And I don't know, we only had a couple trucks, but they were going to start only playing like 2- and 3-nighters, split weeks between two towns, so that they could appease this contract, which says half of your stays have to be less than a week. So they were going to do that so that they could have a lower contract grade. So it was, I don't remember what we were getting paid, but it was a third of what we were getting paid to go out with that same thing. And they got rid of the per diem. The per diem on those...
I was going to ask you, did they get rid of the
per
diem?
Well, that's the whole point why people go on tour.
They
did,
because they save money.
Yeah.
Right. You're not paying for... You're usually subletting your apartment. You know you're going to be on tour for a long time. So you're not paying for a hotel
when
or
I was out,
whatever.
The per diem was like $980 a week, and that was tax-free. Right. And then you got your salary on top of that.
Right.
And... if you stayed in a, if you shared a room with somebody, you paid half. If your parents happened to live in that town, or you had a friend who happened to live in that town, right, you could stay with them and save all of your per diem. So there are all these, you could really save money. They got rid of the ability for you to stay, to share a hotel room and save money, or for you to stay, you could just waive the, they would just take care of the hotel room and you would waive the right to
per diem.
Right.
Right, because then they have probably corporate deals with
right,
chains,
right,
and so they don't pay.
And I think the per diem, then they did give you a smaller per diem for, you know, cost of living things, and it was like, I think it was $280 a week.
Who were you in Chorus Line?
Mark, the young boy who thinks he has gonorrhea.
Right.
That's lovely.
I didn't like him on Broadway either.
You would have loved him on the tour.
I think I would have. I probably would have rather seen the tour. Did they have the same director as the... Oh, well, maybe not. Listen, okay. I'm not going to... Listen, it's just my opinion.
We don't have to belabor...
Listen, that's fine. Belabor like, that. When they revived Company, loved it.
See, well, the difference is, a Chorus Line is sort of a museum piece, so they revived it with every piece completely as it was when they mounted the original production. Like, to the number, to the hand on the hip, on the word... It was that
specific. It's a choreography. It's a standard in like basic choreography. When you take a musical theater class, if you're in like a musical theater school, it's one of the first
classic combinations.
One is one of the first combinations that you learn, and that I get it. It was the changes that they made and the casting that I had the problem with. That's my point. That's all.
Okay.
I wish I knew more about it.
Yeah. So, David, when you... I've never called you David in my life, but tonight I'm calling you David because it feels...
No, yeah, I appreciate the respect.
I think it's because you're drunk.
What do you mean I'm drunk?
No, she's being respectful.
I'm being respectful to his career.
All right.
So you finished that tour, and then what was the next thing?
I did a Cyrano de Bergerac adaptation called Calvin Berger that's also coming in. We did it at the George Street Playhouse, so I'm waiting for that
and
one.
Waiting for the Broadway call.
It's a musical.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that.
I love that show.
Yeah,
too.
It was good. I played the like dumb jock who gets puppeteered by the
Who
smart,
did the music
Siri.
For that?
His name was Barry Weiner. He's a very clever writer. It was good. I thought it was really good, but nothing ever happened with it. And then while I was doing that, Wicked asked me to come into the New York company. So I ended up going and doing that for, I don't know, maybe a year. And while I was doing that, I got How to Succeed, understudying Daniel Radcliffe. So I went and did that.
That's a
for,
great show.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I did that for like a year and a half. And then I went back to Wicked.
Wait, can I ask a quick question?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you're understudying Daniel Radcliffe.
That's right.
Was there ever like a moment in time when they'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, the part of, what's his name? J. Pierpont Finch tonight will be played by David Hall. And then you'd hear like, aww.
So Dan never missed a show.
Oh, really?
So I never had to go on. But his name was above the title, so everyone would have been entitled to refunds if that ever did happen.
Okay.
So it would have been mortifying. The scenario you're describing would have been just... terror. Everyone would have been furious. Everyone would have left, and there would have been like 65 people in the audience who didn't hear the announcement. And then I would come up, and you'd hear like 100 old
people. That's not
like,
Harry Potter.
How many? I'm curious on Broadway, and I'm sure the audience as well. When you're playing an understudy for someone like Radcliffe, how many rehearsals do you get as that character?
It depends on the stage and the process. If he had gone out, there was one time that I got the green light, red alert, he was super sick. Between shows, they told me that I was going to have to go on, and I had one rehearsal, maybe.
Oh, God.
I didn't have costumes, so I was going to have to wear a lot of my ensemble clothes with like a couple weird. He's tiny. He's mm-hmm. a lot smaller than me, so I couldn't even fit into his clothes. So they were just pulling things. They were like running to.
Here's a random hat.
Yeah, they were like running to Brooks Brothers and pulling blazers and trying to find a way to make that happen. And he ended up. I don't remember what happened. He must have gotten some weird celebrity witch doctor nonsense because he came in fresh as a daisy for the night show. But up until like the 15-minute call, we all thought I was going on. So we spent that entire break basically teaching me the show.
During the whole rehearsal process, mm-hmm. you're just sort of taking notes. You're not actually moving.
Well, I was learning my part too.
Right. So I'm saying is, but you're watching him.
Not really, because I was learning the part that I did.
I don't get how they.
How anyone ever understudies.
Originating a company is kind of crazy that way. When I went back to Wicked, I was understudying Fierro, and I did have to go in. I had done the show at that point for like 3 years over the previous 5 years at different times. So I knew the show sort of well, but I ended up going on for Fierro before I even started rehearsals for that part. Because they had run through all their understudies and they came up to me about halfway through the matinee and said, I'm sure this, you have every right to say no to this, but is there any world where you think you could go on tonight? And I was like, I don't know, if you'll meet me at the exit and take me to my next entrance and tell me what I say first, let's give it a go. And so I ended up going on that night.
It's crazy.
But those shows, it's so calculated at that point. They know exactly where everyone's supposed to be. There's
I know, but like lines. Lyrics. I mean, how about notes?
The lyrics I was making up. I'm sure that was just gibberish coming out of my mouth.
I mean, that's my point. It's like the memorization.
Yeah.
Like all that.
Well, you know, some of it seeps in. Well, because I had done the show.
I'm sure it seeps in. The rhythm of it seeps in. You're doing it now.
Oh, yeah. No, I could never do it now. I would be so fucking nervous if I had to do that right now. There's no way on this planet that they could come to me.
Is there a tape of this night? I'm dying to see this.
I doubt it because this was before all those YouTube fans went nuts like they do. But maybe. I don't know. There might be.
If you're out there, go ahead. Email us. We'll put it up.
You know what's funny is that was... I ended up playing that part a handful of times after that just in the course of my run. And that was the one I felt best about.
Why did they... Because they were going through their understudies.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
They had to put them
but
down.
But not only that, but like I'm thinking as a Broadway producer, I'm like going, yeah, let's just get that guy to do it. I wonder if he'll do it. That's what it sounds like.
It was a last resort thing.
Well,
what they would have had to do is maybe fly someone from the tour to do it, and then that's a headache. Or I think they did have an emergency option, but they knew that I knew it. They knew that I knew the show, and they had walked me through a couple. We had had a, what's that called? There's a term for it, but where there would like a cue to cue, where mm-hmm. they would show me if I had to go down in a trap door, if I had anything
right.
like that. We had already covered that, and we spent the break between learning everything. So I did learn. I spent that three hour break learning a lot. So I wasn't completely unprepared. It's not like I was just winging it out there.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
I think if they had asked me to do that now, the pressure would dawn on me, but I was just young and stupid.
Not only that, but it's also a show where the fans know the show so yeah. well.
That is true.
And they're repeat offenders in the sense that they yeah. come right. back to watch. Yeah. So like,
they get those $25 tickets in
yeah,
the front row.
Yeah, that's where sure. I would be like, it's not like some, you know, it's not like you're doing a show where it's like, new on Broadway, not a lot of people know. Right. Like Wicked is like the people that go see that show over and over again, they're yeah. like fanatics.
Yeah. yeah. Definitely.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's yeah, it's a
but I never had to go pressure. On for Dan.
Do they pay you more?
If you go on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a bump. And that's pretty much the only thing they'll negotiate anymore because now Broadway's all like minimum no negotiations. They won't go up on
yeah, because they gotta pay for their stars now.
That's right. Yeah. TV
so,
stars.
He never missed a show. How long did that show run?
Well, the show ran about a year and 3 or 4 months. He left after 10 months, I think. And then Darren Criss came in. He only did 3 weeks, so he never missed either. And then Nick Jonas came in.
Oh, right,
and
right.
he, I think, only his run was about 3 months or something like that. So he didn't miss either, but he only did that 3 month run.
What?
So Dan did 10 straight months without missing a show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What Broadway audition did you have that you didn't get, came close, but you wish you had and you saw it after?
I went in about a 100,000 times for this show, Next to Normal. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Dee Dee in it at West Coast Players.
Oh, did she do it?
Her and Clifton.
Yeah.
They played, she played the lead. Yeah, she played all the mom? Asian cast. She played the mom.
What?
I get chills just thinking about it.
Oh, I wish I
He was amazing
about that.
As well.
And he was the dad.
He was the husband.
Oh, God.
And I, it's can such I just a good tell show. You my experience?
Yeah.
I knew what the subject matter was,
sure.
but I'm thinking musical theater. Yeah. So I'm not thinking it's that heavy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm literally in the first like 20 minutes of the show going,
I got to go to my car and cry.
I'm not going to make it.
Oh, it's sub.
I'm not going to make it through the show. Yeah. I literally was like, I can't deal with this. Like, this
sobbed.
Is a lot.
Yeah. I sobbed. Full
it's
out
a brilliant show.
It's very smart.
Who did you audition for?
For the young.
The kid.
Spoiler.
Who, the yeah, well, the well dead listen, one. If you haven't seen Next to Normal by now, I'm sorry.
We're sorry gonna, about it.
Yeah.
The dead
but
one.
Yeah, the kid. Really. Yeah,
the Aaron Tveit.
Yeah.
The Aaron Tveit deal.
The cast was amazing. It was a great production.
Yeah, yeah. And I had gone in for a lot of things that guy ended up getting, or to replace him in something, or to understudy him in something. And he can sing me under the table. I had no business doing it, but for some reason I was always right there. I was always in that pool.
I think just your like trying type my best. Is very hard to find on Broadway.
Yeah, I think you're know? Probably right. Yeah, it is a pretty small
handsome young like
pool.
Yeah, masculine guy in Broadway. That's like difficult
well, thank you
to
for
find.
All of those
but also don't you like I know when you have that when you have that actor nemesis guy.
Yeah. He was not my nemesis for the record. He was like
well, whatever.
He was the one who had gotten there and I was kind
well, of
chasing
him. Well, for the purpose
him.
Of this show, he's your nemesis, all right?
Sure,
because like even with me, and I'm sure you have that same thing, Christine, is like when you have that person that you're always up against, always you see them and you're like, when you walk in, you're like, fuck, right? I pray that they book a series. I pray that they get something because I'm like, get out of my way. Just book something that lasts 8 years. I don't care. Just book it, dude.
Be on CSI Bakersfield. Just please, dude, whatever you do.
Just book it. Like, I want to stop seeing. Like, I'm tired of it. Go
That's
ahead.
Funny.
I think that was more your tangent than
I
mine.
Know, I listen, I get emotional about these podcasts. So wait.
Oh, God. What?
I mean, the faces.
What?
The faces you make.
Yeah, what are you talking about? The faces
rolling
I
in the
make.
Eyes, the faces.
Oh, the depth of your two relations, the relationship drama is palpable in this room for those of you.
Listen, can we just thank our sponsor this week, our other sponsor, Daily Harvest?
Yes, I want to talk about it.
We've all seen a mouth-watering healthy smoothie or acai bowl. Acai? Acai?
I think it's acai.
Acai.
It's delicious.
Okay. You've seen it on Instagram, Pinterest. People love to just like do the food porn. And I don't blame them because it's delicious looking. And you've probably thought, you know what? I should be eating that. But hello, who has time to make that? That looks really involved. Wouldn't it just be great if you could just get those perfect picture nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market, chop up a bunch of stuff, make it look pretty and take a picture? Well, let me tell you something. Now you can get all your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest.
Mm. You know what's great, Christine, is that Daily Harvest freezes all their ingredients at peak freshness, sealing in their nutrient values.
Yeah, well, you want to get things at their peak. At their peak value. You want
well,
to get
fresh
things when
is good,
it's all
right?
coming out fresh. Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're freezing it, so you're getting it that way.
I know.
Don't you get it?
I get it.
All right.
Well, either way, your Daily Harvest cup is ready in like 30 seconds. All you have to do is add water, or maybe if you're feeling fancy, you can put in like coconut milk or almond milk or I don't care, whatever milk, whatever milks you like.
Or maybe a juice.
Or a juice. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat. It's that easy. And I actually, you know, I give my daughter a lot of smoothies. And this, I spend a lot of time with the chopping and the prepping and the blending. And this has made my life so much easier.
And it's sent to your door.
Sent right to my door. And I feel really good that I'm getting good nutrients and so is she. You don't even have to think about it.
Well, let's tell our fans how they can get it.
All right. Go to daily-harvest.com. Enter promo code WORST to get 3 items free.
Three. Free.
For free. Off your first box. That's promo code WORST for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com. Thanks, Daily Harvest.
Back to Next to Normal. Because listen to me. I'm like,
I can't believe that's the first time you've seen it. It is.
Isn't
I know,
it good?
It's so. Good.
I was like,
you know, when she sings that song, "I Miss the Mountains."
Oh,
I think about it sometimes. I think about it from time to time. Just comes to my mind.
I can't ever see that show again. You understand that? Like it was a one time. Like
I wish I had known they were doing it. I would have absolutely.
Oh my god, it was so good.
That.
They were both so great. But I literally was like, I will never. I don't care who's starring in it.
It's
I will
very
never
emotional.
See this show again. Yeah. It is so. It was. It killed me.
It's hard to watch. I don't.
Yeah,
think I can
it
see it again.
Killed me.
Wait, David. I want to get on to the next phase. So I'm sure a lot of people don't. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this probably know you best from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And what a lot of people probably don't know is the incarnation of that show and how you. So just talk about that.
Yeah, so I had come out here with a play called Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and we did a 3-month run.
At the Mark Taper Forum.
At the Mark Taper Forum.
Which is
that
huge...
a revival of that show?
No, it
I'm
was...
I'm kidding.
No. Did you hate the Broadway version?
I never saw it.
That one was very well cast, I think.
And the Mark Taper Forum is a very prestigious house.
So right
town.
After it closed on Broadway, they brought it out... to LA, and the guy who played my part in New York had gotten the Into the Woods movie, and so he was unavailable, so I ended up replacing him, which was super fun.
See, that's a CSI. Great.
Yeah, he got a CSI.
He got a CSI.
And so I got a job.
Great.
It was awesome. David Hyde Pierce stepped out to direct it because our director got very sick. Anyway, that's a tangent, but it was a really
great...
That's
awesome.
That's
to
cool.
Have,
yeah.
He's genius.
Yeah, he's
and
genius.
He was lovely.
Yeah, he's
had a
the
great
best.
Time with him.
The best human on the planet. And I played opposite Christine Ebersole.
Oh, wow.
Which was, with the relationship we have, we had so many like ups and downs, but now it was crazy how bonded we became over the course that we played love interests. And so we had to like make
right.
out and
right.
I had to feel her up and all this stuff. So it was a very intimate situation for us to be in. So it was kind of weird it was strange at first. But
that must be can I ask you, can I just stop for a second?
Yeah.
When you're in rehearsals, like, as in a film, you might talk about the scene and how that's going to go down sort of like on a technical level.
Right.
But like sometimes the first time you're doing it is the first time like they're saying like take
yeah.
one. This
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
action.
Yeah, you don't
in
have the
In a play,
luxury of
that. It's like totally different. Like right. in rehearsals, are you guys, I mean, you're full, you're 100%, you're just going for it?
Yeah. Well, this was a weird one too because I was sort of a replacement. So we didn't have a real... lengthy rehearsal process to find all of our kind of the juicy guts of it all.
Got it.
I was kind of
trying to
thrown
fit
into
into
his cookie cutter.
That
and
role.
His name's Billy Magnuson. He is out of his mind lunatic. He is so he's so insanely wonderful to watch because he can get away with anything because he's just that person. He is so wild. And so all of his things, if I tried to do them, would have felt super disingenuous because it would have been like this
Got
guy
it.
Trying so hard to be funny when he did it was just this like wild maniac of a
you
human
had to like
being.
Find your own take
right.
But also for her it's probably good because it's a fresh thing for her it
well
sort of
she
start...
had stepped in for Sigourney Weaver so we were the two who
I mean, listen to this
who had gotten replaced so we were both
Very
kind
fancy.
Of in that insecure position of trying to step in amongst the fully formed rest of the cast and
you.
Then also make it our own. And David was wonderful about helping us find all of that. But we just didn't have much time. So it was crunch time. And the intimacy part, it was just very forced at first. It didn't feel good. And it wasn't getting laughs. And there were, you know, some serious conversations about that. Because I don't know, if the rest of the play works especially, then our stuff really stood out. So, I mean, I'm not sure what all the creative conversations were about that, but we had a pretty tricky path to finding all of that. And I think that's what bonded us so quickly, that
yeah.
we both were in that position. And then David was so helpful and lovely and helped us really kind of make that our own. But that's all a tangent. So anyway, I was doing that play, and I started working on... the show the middle that like
right.
I just did a few episodes of that but because
you
of that
Eden Shears love interest
yeah so I had just come out for 3 months I put all my stuff in storage in New York and was just coming out for 3 months but then I kind of got that little thing so I stayed for another couple weeks and then I auditioned for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It was around pilot season. They were originally piloted as a Showtime half hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a 10 episode deal. I didn't get it. I auditioned for the role of Greg, which was played by Santino Fontana eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't get it, but the casting director thought that I looked so much like the guy who they had cast as Josh, who happens to be Filipino, that she kept thinking how funny it would be if I did get cast as Greg and we'd both just happen to look very similar and one of us was white, like the white version of this Filipino guy. Mm-hmm. So she started referring to me as White Josh in the casting sessions.
Yeah.
Filipinos can sing.
Sure.
Just want to say that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes, right. Of course they can.
We've all been on a cruise where there's a Freddie Mercury, and that is literally every Freddie Mercury, every Queen cover band with a Freddie Mercury is a Filipino man, and he can usually sing his tits off. I'm just saying.
All right. What's the...
I'm just saying.
REO Speedwagon or somebody has... Some classic band has a Filipino cover.
Journey.
Oh, Journey. Yeah, that's what it is.
Journey.
I think he's Japanese.
Oh.
Journey and...
No, I thought he was Filipino.
Journey and Queen.
I don't know.
Anyway, he's outstanding. I saw him in Atlantic City.
Sounds just like him.
Sounds just like him. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, amazing. It is. It's insane.
Wait, so the casting director was the kind of the one who coined that phrase,
just
White
kept
Josh?
Referring to me as White Josh.
That's
so
crazy.
The show, they piloted the Showtime half hour. It didn't get picked up.
You were not in that pilot.
I was not in that in any capacity. I went for like a pre-screen, got a hard no. That was the only thing I knew about it. And then maybe a year and a half later, I was still just out here. I still just never really wound up going back to New York because it was, I didn't have an apartment there. I would have had to like find the whole sublet hustle and
right.
I had a really cheap place to stay out here. So I just kind of stayed. All my stuff is, by the way, still in storage.
Still in the same
storage unit. Yep.
You're right. The Journey singer is Filipino.
Well.
All right, go back. Okay.
Filipinos can sing. So then CW picked it up two seasons later, a year and a half later.
What studio is doing
this?
That's
crazy.
CBS.
It's CBS Studios.
Okay. Yeah. So they pick it up a year and a half later, and I just get a call out of the blue from Rachel, who's the star of the show, saying, hey, this is probably going to sound insane, but we have been talking about putting you on the show for a year and a half, and had we gotten picked up on Showtime, we would have done the same, but we just didn't, so we didn't have any reason to actually call you. But we'd love for you to come be on the show. So I just kind of got a call out of the blue.
So
is that not the greatest?
It's also really kind of sweet and refreshing because there was no cloaked mystery about it. You know how everyone in this town is so walls up? She was just like, hey, buddy. I haven't even ever met you, but I'd love for you to come be on our show.
But she hadn't met you at all?
Nope.
He'd just done the one audition.
I know.
Wasn't right. And
she
then
saw some tape.
She
from
saw
a
the tape. I'm just wondering how
this
she.
This was like a role that was literally created for quote unquote White Josh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was. They just thought it was.
So how many episodes did you do the first season?
11, maybe 12.
Out of the 13.
Like out of 18. We did 18.
Oh,
they did.
They did a B season? Did they do one of those B seasons?
They did. No, they called it all season one. They got a back five while we were.
Okay.
They picked up the back five before we premiered.
Okay.
So.
And then season two happened.
Season two happened. We went back down to 13 because our ratings were really bad. They moved us to Fridays. We have the worst ratings on television, which sounds like I'm being self-deprecating, but we really kind of wear it with a badge of honor because we think it's hilarious. But last season, we were 91 of 9. People
listing
the 91
then?
Shows.
They're giving you guys a chance.
Yeah, we have a third. We're doing our third right now.
But I mean, 13? It's won awards and it's, you know.
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of a critical darling.
Let's speak about the business right now. You know how networks are.
Yeah, the business side of it is mind-boggling.
It's not where they give shows a chance anymore. If Seinfeld was to air for their first season this year,
right.
They wouldn't get picked up.
It'd be like four and done.
Right.
Well, I do think and obviously this doesn't satisfy the business side of it, but a huge portion of our audience is streaming and they know that so many people are locked in.
That's great.
That they're willing to... I think they're willing to maybe take a bit of a loss because the show has so much
And you're going to have to forgive me because I've not seen the show.
That's all right.
All right.
A lot of people haven't, as I've just mentioned.
Which explains why. I mean, I didn't realize 91,
which is the best part.
I didn't realize it got picked up for a season two, but we're now on season three.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, season three just premiered last week.
And it's a congratulations.
Thank you.
Can we talk for 2 seconds about Insecure?
Oh, yeah. Insecure.
Okay. So Dave is also on Insecure. But what I love is that, like, you are the
seriously, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass because you're sitting here, you're like one of the nicest friends I have.
Oh,
for reals.
Well, thank you.
I mean, always down to help out, always down to, thank you, Jenna. Annie is the nicest girlfriend who just brought me a beer.
Thanks, Jenna.
But always like down to help out, down to watch the dogs, like down to just come hang, like sweetest man alive with my daughter. Like, you're just down for anything.
Aww.
And no, don't say
this isn't
what,
about
what.
You.
This isn't about you. Literally, you are the most
just
not
let her give
down.
Give me a compliment, dog.
I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this.
Okay, I'm getting there. Give me a second.
Go ahead.
But the funny thing is, you get cast as sometimes these kind of arrogant assholes.
Oh, I see.
I don't know why it's just like funny to me.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm a. You got a bad read on me. I am a grade A douchebag.
Yeah.
And I play it well.
No, the insecure thing is so funny because in the beginning, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I can talk about this.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when I first watched like your first episode, you were just like, you were a dude. You worked at the, you know, this corporate
law
sort
firm,
of law firm. And you kind of seemed like, you know, just like a guy who could have worked at the law firm. Yeah. And there was a whole different path for that character.
Yes, there was. They had originally, written me as the kind of woke white boy who works with one of the main characters. And I mean, it wasn't a huge plot point, but we had a bunch of things that ended up getting cut where I was sort of this like woke gets it dude.
Right.
And then all of that got cut for story. And I ended up just having a couple lines that season. And then we came back for season two, and I was so honored that they were having me back because there really was no reason they had to.
So wait, were you on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend before this show?
Yes. Yep.
So contractually, did you have this as an out?
No, we shot in the off season, so there was
and they don't care.
No, I wasn't bumped to regular until this year, so I was just a guest star there those first two seasons. And I don't know if they would have anyway. They seem pretty good about that stuff, but anyway. They had written me as this one kind of guy, and the audition was all very improv-y and fun, conversational. This guy really gets it. And then I came back for season two, and I really was surprised that they were having me back at all because I had like two lines in two episodes in season one. There was no reason that my character was important enough to like dig into. And I get to the table read, which was under lock and key. They didn't send us any scripts. It was a cold read at the table. And it is like this white devil douchebag who stands for everything bad in the world. And it is a more interesting and more important story to tell for sure. But I was like, is this just the read they got on me? They writing for the actor they have at this point?
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you remember when I went in to play your wife?
Oh, that's right. They were like letting me have input on who was going to play my wife.
I like went in to play his wife, who was sort of this... I don't know how you describe it. Didn't like the character didn't even make it into the.
No,
they cut the whole storyline.
Yeah, they cut that whole thing. Yeah,
but she was
spent a lot of money on this show.
I think so. HBO has they got
because they're shooting all this stuff and they're like
we didn't shoot any of that.
Yeah, no, I went in to play and I was like, oh my god, I went in to play your wife. Oh my god, wouldn't this be so fun? And then I didn't hear it. I was like, damn it, I didn't get it. And he's like, oh sweetie, they cut that. And I was like, oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah, isn't that the worst? When I'd rather them cut it all together than like.
Not get it.
I felt so fancy. They were asking me if I had anybody I wanted to pitch to play my wife. They asked me what kind of props I thought this guy would have. Like, what kind of... He plays a lawyer, which is hilarious. I was talking about going to law school earlier because I was
right.
Like, I don't know. What do lawyers hold? Do they still have briefcases? What goes in there? Oh, briefs? Is that legal?
Cool.
See, if you... I would have been like, I want a flip phone.
Flip phone.
I want like old technology. When I make calls, I want a fucking.
Oh, see, I went the other direction. I asked for an Apple Watch.
See, no,
they didn't give it to me because I guess lawyers don't use Apple products.
No,
or maybe they didn't have. I don't know.
If I can't get the licensing,
I would have done a flip
phone.
HBO can't get that.
I would have had a flip phone.
Not even them.
And a Nextel pager.
I don't even. I'm not trust you. That is like Better Call Saul. That is
lawyers might have. No, that's probably doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Both.
People still use pagers.
Okay, I'm just gonna fire off a couple of rapid fire.
Hit me.
Thanks. Worst audition ever.
Probably for I've had about a billion terrible ones, but there's one that does stand out to me because it was also to understudy that guy that we were talking about that you referred to as my nemesis earlier, mm-hmm. And there was an optional note in it that's not in the score, but pretty much everyone would sing, but no one was talking about it. And the way it's written, it's a much lower note. And it was one of those ones where you like really pop up and soar, or you kind of come down and, you know. Anyway.
Is it the little note on the page?
It wasn't even written as a little note. Oh. There was no, this kid just has like pipes that can go up there. So right. It just was his own thing. Anyway, I wasn't planning on doing the high option. I'm a very inconsistent singer as it is, so I would get a little nervous about it, but especially that one. I could like nail it in my bedroom the night before, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Anyway, I'm ramping up into the song and I'm feeling great, like feeling real good about myself. So I decide in the moment
that
I'm going to give it a go. And suffice it to say, it did not go very well.
Okay.
A sound came out of me, the likes of which no human has made before, to the point where, like, there's no recovering, right?
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah, there's no trying to pass that off. Like, you guys did that, right? There's no show must go on after that moment. So I think I sort of just, like, flipped into my head voice and did a, like, an embarrassing sort of, like, bow to the ground as if to say, like, no need to try and look me in my eyes. And the casting director goes, well, you tried it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
That's horrible. So you heard that? Oh.
Oh, no.
Okay, my question
you
for you is,
you went inside yourself, basically.
Any cast, like, with all the shows, tours, everything, were cast members who you didn't get along with or you had rivalries or... when you're on a tour for a year and a half...
Yeah, it's like forced family. So
it gets
some
incestual,
shit.
Too.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of a good time guy. I was always just like kept everyone at arm's length. I was good for a good time.
Did anyone not like you?
I'm sure. Yeah. I can't really think of any specifics, though. But I'm sure. There's nothing of note. No like big blowouts or anything. But yeah, people hated me. I'm sure. I was like this fratty douchebag. I was 22. Ripping shots.
Did you have dance experience?
I didn't before college, but I kind of did it in college. They taught me some stuff.
And it's rough, especially as a guy, because you don't have the stretch, you know.
Yeah, the technical foundation was not there for me. I don't think I could have done that much longer. My body was not feeling it.
Like, you could hang upside down as like a monkey, but we weren't going for newsies.
Right. Chorus line was hard. I mean, that was...
With
that audition, do they start with the dance?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So you made it past the first round.
I think I auditioned for that one again, maybe 5 or 6 times. I had gone in for the revival, not the original one, but to replace in the revival, and I didn't get it. And then I went in for the tour, and I didn't get it. And then the tour went out, and then I went in again for a replacement on the tour, and I didn't get it. And then they had me in... another time, and I was on the road, so I was flying back for these auditions, which, you know, in hindsight maybe wasn't worth it, but seemed worth it. It was worth it because I ended up getting the job, but by the fourth time finally got it. But I think it was a lot. I don't move like everyone moves because I don't have that sort of technical foundation, and that show is, you know, they're supposed to be like blend into the background chorus dancers by the end of the show. And I do sort of stick out a little bit. It was rough for me in any dance call. Because I can do some things. And I'm a mind over matter guy. If you do it, I can like maybe do it. But
I'm trying to think if I can remember the choreography for one. I feel like I can.
Well, get up on them feet,
you'd
buddy.
Do it with me.
Oh, Lord. All right. I will tape you guys after this. And we can save it and put it up.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Instagram. I do have a slightly funny story that I want to share.
Hit me.
About David. So you had moved into this place in Hollywood. It might be actually be where I can't remember if it's the place you're living now or
Bugtown, USA.
Yep. The place before that. And at one point you were coming over here and I hadn't checked my phone and you were running late and I didn't think twice about it. But when I finally looked at my phone and I think I screenshotted the text, and if I can find it, I will put it up on social. But your text to me was, "Hey, leaving in 5 minutes. Hey, sorry, haven't left yet. I am currently locked. My keys are currently locked in the laundry room where a homeless man has decided to squat and locked himself inside." And then the next one was like, cool, still here. Like, it was like,
what?
#living in Hollywood. hope to see you soon. Yeah. Like,
when I texted her leaving at 5, I was running down to get my stuff out of the dryer.
Yep.
And I think, I don't remember if I had started down there and run up. Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have my, I didn't have my bag to put my laundry in, so I ran up to get my bag, and then while I was in there, I was like, hey, leaving in 5, ran back down with my bag, and the door had been closed, and I had left my keys in that room. And the guy that we have,
squatter,
he was like a tweaker, yeah, was taking a nap on the laundry machine,
locked the
which
door.
Has happened a couple times, but he pulled the door shut behind him, which of course he did. But none of the tenants have keys to that laundry shed. It's like a little shed out back behind the apartment building. So I couldn't get in, and I was rapping on the thing. I called everybody, and they're like, go fuck yourself. There's nobody that's taking care of anybody who lives in that apartment building. So I just waited a while, and then my downstairs neighbor, who has lived there forever, was walking by, and I was like, any chance you have a key to this laundry shed? And she did. So that was how I finally
got
in
there. That's hilarious.
He was able to get his keys in the laundry, and then he was like, sorry.
It's the same thing that happened, except not in the laundry, but what's his name? The other guest that we had, your friend, threw a fireball.
Oh yeah, Brian Chesters.
Yeah, he had the homeless thing happen with his building.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, you know, squatters. It's just hashtag my friends at TV.
You know what?
Star.
I'm about to go through that, I'm sure.
I felt
I'm living in one of those buildings.
Yeah. I mean, this is Hollywood. You know,
I'm so
this
sorry
is Hollywood.
For you.
No,
this
I'm sorry
happens.
For me too.
Yeah. It's not good on this side. I hope you don't have the bug problem I do. My downstairs neighbors are...
I got all new furniture, and I had Terminex come before I even moved in.
Yeah, that's it's God. Not going to do the trick where I live, because my downstairs neighbors are hoarders. So they can come as much as they want. They've come and sprayed maybe 3 times, and then 3 weeks later, like clockwork, there they come.
Oh, my
but
God.
But now I kind of like them.
You guys should really talk about the train, because
I take it all the time. I love the train.
I'm a train
he
person.
He takes
me
the
too.
Train. He has a bike. He has a car, too. But you actually take public transit more than anyone
yeah.
I know.
I prefer it. That's why, like, in New York, like, when I was over the summer, I was in New York for, like...
It's the best.
They're like, my friend wants... to take a car, and I'm like, I'm not taking a car.
Yeah,
but you can get in the car, and I'll meet you there. Because
there's plenty of good trains.
I'll go crazy in traffic
yep.
in New York City.
Yep.
And now that they've added Uber and Lyft
yep.
in New York, it's more traffic.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'll get there in 15 minutes, where you're gonna be in the car
yep.
for 35 to 40 minutes.
Yep. We're on the same page here.
I don't care how hot the train station is.
Yeah. Well, the train stations here, on the other hand, are very nice, very clean.
They are.
The problem is that the New
they
Yorkers...
They don't go as many places as you want
no.
them to go.
Right. But you can do some combination of, I mean, bus if you're really willing.
I've done it.
But train and Uber on either side.
Christine, I didn't have a car for 6 months, remember? 6-7 months. And I
yeah.
was thinking, I was going to auditions in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh. Take the
on
train.
On the fucking train.
On the blue line.
From, let me tell you from where. Van Nuys.
Sure. Red line to the expo line?
Yeah.
He knows.
There was no expo line.
You take the orange line? Oh, you were taking the Van Nuys bus.
I was taking orange line. Like if I'll have like 3 auditions.
Oh, this was before the expo line?
Before the expo
okay.
line. Okay. I would take the orange line to the red line.
Uh-huh.
Take the red line
to downtown?
To like Hollywood Vine. I'll do a commercial audition like on La Brea.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd catch the blue bus.
Oh, yeah. Santa Monica Big Blue Bus.
To get to Fox.
Heck
you know,
yeah.
whatever. You know, it was a nightmare, but I did it.
Yeah.
If you figure it out now. But now I live close to the Vermont and Wilshire line.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is really
yeah.
easy to get to a
That's
lot of places.
Easy. So it has red and purple.
That's nice. And once the Purple Line goes all the way, because
right.
they're building the Purple Line all the way out to Westwood on Wilshire.
Jenna, this is Dave's girlfriend. How do you feel about the public transport?
I love the public transport.
Do you enjoy it in LA?
I do. He's given me a little bit of a tour. Which
yeah,
is
she's
really nice.
She's a good sport.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, if you go to your
it's
Instagram,
different.
you Instagram it a
I
lot.
Try to, because I feel like people don't even realize that there's
it,
a
it
public
exists.
Transit
it's true.
System here.
It's
I agree.
Different.
Like, I use it, like, if I know I'm going downtown, rather than trying to find parking or whatever, I'll take the train downtown. It's just
mm-hmm.
so much better.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Downtown's easy.
Yeah.
I drive a 71 pickup truck, so I can't really valet it. Right. I can't really park it a lot of places. Right. Well, it's a gas hog. A lot of
reasons.
And
you almost died on the freeway once coming to my house.
I had a blowout and almost and the tires on that thing, if one blows out, it is like you have
you're driving
absolutely no control. Yeah.
No control. He literally comes to my house. He's like, "Hey guys." I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" He's like, almost died on the freeway." We're like, I'm sorry, what?
I sure did, yeah. Oh, I got hit by a car today.
You got hit by a car today?
I got hit by a car today, yeah.
Why are we burying this story?
Yeah. This bitch pulling into Starbucks on...
Which Starbucks?
Willoughby and Highland. I was taking Willoughby. I work at a gym in West Hollywood, Beverly Hills area. So I take Willoughby all the way across. I only take my bike to the gym job. And... I was coming. She was in the right-hand lane. No turn signal. Just went straight for the Starbucks drive-thru and completely cut me off and didn't stop. I scratched her car. It's bad. And kept going. So I actually took a picture of her.
Oh.
Not
Did
that I'm going to do anything
her?
With it.
Were you like, you just hit me?
Yeah. And then
and was she like, oh, sorry.
And then I took a picture and then I had a light, so I left.
But did she have any
she
recollection?
She got out of her car when she saw me taking a picture. In her Benz. No.
Oh.
Her Beamer.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, and you got her license plate, too.
And then she was like, hey! Like, screaming at me as if I did something wrong.
Oh, my God.
Were you in the right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, you can't. I mean, pedestrians
well, some
and
of the bikers,
bikers
I have to say, I think...
Look, Dave.
First of all,
Dave wants to get a motorcycle, and I'm very against
you, especially with your luck.
No. I'll be dead in 6 weeks. I keep saying, but
I'm not into it.
I went to take my test today.
Oh, David.
But I
get a moped.
I waited for 2 hours.
No, a moped's even worse.
Get this. I wait for 2 hours at the DMV, which is fine. And the last test is you can't get administered a test after 5. They called my number at 5:07, so I got to go back in the morning.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So you come at 5:07. They're like, thanks so much for waiting.
Yeah.
We're done.
They were like, we'll process you, but you have to come back to take the test so I can do it.
So wait a minute.
This is my second.
You work at a gym too?
Yeah. I'm like a janitor. My gym job.
Dave is a very...
I'm so confused.
No.
You're on two series.
Yeah, but it's a cushy janitor job.
But let's talk about this for a second.
I'm a janitor, but like a hot one. You know what I mean?
I know. You're on two series. It's like an actor's dream, right?
Dave is a very frugal, very practical person. Humble, frugal, practical.
Yeah,
you don't know when your next job is going to come.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
Also, you need a place to work out, and you can probably work out there for free you have...
What gym
you,
is it?
Christine.
You have a job there.
It's the Reebok gym. It's a CrossFit gym. On
Look,
Melrose.
I think a lot
do
of
CrossFit.
Well, come okay. on in. It's $275 a month, which is why I have
will
my
not
janitor job.
Be
it's insane,
gym. Honey. I take a $3 Zumba class, and I'm not. You think I'm kidding?
I don't know why?
No, it's not even. It's in the barrio of like on Figueroa, in like right outside of Highland Park. It's listen. I'm not kidding.
Women with their strollers.
Women come with their strollers. It's I listen. I'm like. I ain't joining no gym.
Yeah.
$3 Zumba.
Well, it's you can get $3. A gym job. If you want a gym job, let me know.
But I ain't cleaning no gym neither.
No, it's fun. I'm pretty good at it. You'll get good at it. And then it's kind of fun. It's nice because you can
this
check
is
out.
The craziest guy I've ever met. He's like but, a two series and he's fucking at
But listen never, for a second. Yeah. I mean, I'm on two series, but I probably worked like 30 days last year. You know what I mean?
Are you getting paid by episode?
Yeah, but I mean, I have nothing to do.
But you don't know, and you don't know when your next job is coming.
I understand that. I'm not saying that, Christine. It's just, I'm allowed to think it's odd.
Are you too good for a gym job,
If you knew how good I was
at
it,
if you were
going to
work at a Chick-fil-A, I'd be like, right on. I love a Chick-fil-A.
I can't.
This is a healthier version
choice.
Of that. You want free chicken.
So do you take the CrossFit classes?
Yeah.
Didn't you used to lead them?
No.
I mean, you never led them
no.
at all? You
no.
could, though.
That
CrossFit's not my thing. I
want to try it.
I've done the training, mate. I did it today. I almost threw up.
It is.
I want to
you
do
know
that.
It's working.
I want to do that thing that you're talking about.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
Every time we do it, everyone's like, you guys ready? And I'm like, no, fuck, that sounds horrible.
Oh, God, it's awful.
I do it because I need discipline.
We know. That's very
like,
clear.
I want someone to yell at me and go, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like,
I would
that.
Love
trash.
To yell at you. We would both love to probably yell at
yeah,
you.
Let's do it.
Why don't I you just that. Come over to my house
we'll get
and
a video
we'll just
of that
make you
after
do
this
shit
also.
And work out and we'll just yell at you.
I mean, I yell back.
He does. We go to SoulCycle. He yells at the teacher.
Now that I can't get. Now that I can't get.
I'm not
Jenna
into,
loves SoulCycle.
I'm not into the cycling.
Which
really
one do you go to in New York?
Shit, we went to Flatiron.
I go to the Tribeca
one.
It.
It's not my fave.
The Tribeca one's good.
She
the
lives,
new bikes. Have you done the new bikes?
I'm a little on the.
I hate the new bikes.
She has a place in Cobble Hill, so there's one. There's one like I don't know, six blocks from her.
Yeah, I do the SoulCycle, but it's got the New York instructors, the Tribeca ones. They want me to come back because it's so fun for them. Because I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking?
They give you comp classes?
No, but they're like, when are you coming back?
Yeah, forget it.
Because I hate it. I hate it. You know, but I hate it. But I love it and hate it at the same time because I am screaming. I'm telling them to fuck off my middle finger when they're like doing 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm like 1 and my middle finger goes up and they're like, it's
I don't
it's not a
like
joke.
Going with him because he in the very beginning is angry. Right. So then he says angry things to the instructor and then the instructor calls him out and then looks at me next to him. And I'm like, I have no part in this. I have no part in this. And they're like, if just for
well,
that,
because, listen,
five
they
more.
Do a lot of that soul talking in the beginning where they're like, and we're gonna, yeah. And I'm like,
they
and
call
I,
it a
I
tribe.
Literally, no, we were like sitting next to Christine and I were sitting next to each other, and she was like doing some like, and just let your body blah blah blah. And I was like, let's just do this already.
Yeah, like, she's like,
I swear to God.
Them.
And she's like, who are you? And I
she's
was
like, oh, just for that, we're gonna start with sprints. And I'm like, I want to fucking kill you. Oh, I hate it so much.
It's not.
I wish we could bring a camera into SoulCycle because we've got many requests from fans of the show.
Yeah.
They want to see what happens. I would if SoulCycle would let us do it, I'd let them tape it. It's so I'm like I don't care. But if I'm paying to like sweat and like be pushed, and I'm going to yell back. I'm going to clap back. I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah, you paid.
I mean,
I'm kind of with you on this now that you say that. You're the consumer.
It's true.
You have everything.
And I have to have 2 bottles of water there because I get panicked if I feel like I'm running out of the first bottle. Like, I'm not going to make it through. So I have to have that extra bottle, even though I usually don't get to that extra bottle. But I feel like I need to see it.
I need you to come to Training Mate with me.
I'll do Training Mate with you.
What is Training Mate?
Okay, so Training Mate I feel like is very similar to CrossFit. Although the one time I've done CrossFit, I realized it wasn't for me. Only because every single guy there looked like they were training for Game of Thrones. It was Game of Thrones and me. And they were like, okay, guys, we're just going to do some real simple, you know, handstand push-ups. And I was like, yeah, I'm not there,
I can't do
everyone.
A push-up without...
I can't even
I do
handstand.
The knee kind.
Like, no, guys. And like, I literally almost threw up. And the guy was like, doesn't it feel good? And I
Jenna
was like,
came.
It doesn't.
Jenna did one.
I'm scared. Jesus, I can't do any of that.
She did
How do you do a handstand push-up?
I don't know.
You do
I don't
a handstand
know.
With your feet up against the wall and you do push-ups like this.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
It's easier than it
you
looks.
You do a handstand...
And then you go down up. Like you're gonna...
And your feet are touching the wall?
Yeah, yes. So you're doing a handstand.
I don't have the arm strength. I don't have it.
Obviously. Who does? Only yeah. Dave and people on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Jenna,
janitors.
I guess, for one.
I
so
Jim janitors.
I can't do a pull-up.
Good for you,
I could
Jenna.
Never do a pull-up.
No. Like, I think I could do one in seventh grade.
I could never do a pull-up. In gym, I couldn't climb the rope.
Presidential Physical Fitness Award.
No, I couldn't. No. They gave it to me.
They did?
I charmed my way through it. My gymnasium teacher.
How was your V sit and reach?
Listen,
pretty good?
I never
changed. Oh my God, my hammies.
My gymnasium teacher, like, excused me from staying in the class.
They just didn't want you in it anymore.
Exactly.
They were like, get this guy out of here.
No. I was on in junior high. I was
it's
on
called
the
charm. I think it's called like extortion.
No,
or like...
in junior high in North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, I was the manager of the wrestling team. And
how?
Let me tell you
for
why.
For those of you at home, he is up.
It's
he
like,
is out of his seat.
He's doing stand up.
It's all the written. You have to write everything down and
okay.
the weighing uh-huh. and stuff.
And bake cookies.
But here's the best part. here's the best part, Christine. I'd have to wrestle.
What?
Because I was the smallest guy. There was no one in that weight
Stop
in that weight
it.
Class.
So you
I
had
always
zero.
Won.
You literally
I, so
had like
I
zero
had
practice.
The fucking
and
leotard
all...
thing, the no. singlet. Oh yeah, and I'd have to show up, and then they'd be like, "Okay, the team forfeit."
Did you know what you were doing?
Yes, because I was at every practice because I was the wrestling manager.
But did you ever
get on,
actually
get on off? I'll show you the starting position.
Wait, did you ever actually wrestle anyone at practice?
At practice, I just learned how to, just in case, but I never had to wrestle.
Oh my God. You were like the. Like,
I went to Northeast Junior High in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Forced forfeit. What would you have done if someone showed up in your weight
class? I would have fucking kicked his ass.
Just out of sheer like will and motivation.
Yeah, I'm very competitive. I don't care. There's something about me. I'm like, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's no physical reason why I should, but I will.
No, there isn't.
You would have broken every rule, but
I don't care. I would have won.
Oh my God.
All right, this has been amazing.
This has been amazing.
What a nice
I could talk
time
for hours. Dave, let our listeners know where to find you on social.
I only have Instagram, and it's David Hull. David Hull. David Hull twice.
Spell it.
DavidHull. And then again, DavidHull.
You mean it's twice?
David Hull, David Hull.
Yeah, David Hull, David Hull.
It's him. He's got a parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah,
it's
my
business.
There's birds and...
And your shows are...
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Insecure's done for the season. They already aired, but it's still available on HBO Go now. And then Crazy Ex just premiered last Friday at 8 o'clock, I'm told. And will continue through the fall.
And then you have a movie.
On Fridays at 8.
Oh, yeah. You just finished.
I did. I just shot a movie with Bob Saget and Rob Corddry and Kevin Pollak and Sherry O'Terry.
A
lot of peeps.
And Max Burkholder, who's from Parenthood, I'm sure.
What's this movie called?
It's called Benjamin. I'm not really sure what stage they're in. I think they're doing the festival rounds type of deal.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So no news on that front as far as where to find it, but... I'm really excited about it. I loved it. We shot for 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks in Santa Clarita in a weird mansion, and the whole movie takes place in one night in one room, basically. So we were all there for 14 hours a day in the same outfit, Groundhog Day.
Just bullshitting with hilarious comedians.
Those are the best.
It's so fun.
And in Santa Clarita because
we were trapped
opposite
there.
Traffic.
And also opposite commute. Yep.
Yep.
And we all just basically sat on the back patio and crack jokes for 14 hours a day. It was the time of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast.
That's great.
All right, well, listen, you can find Christine Lakin at
Dave
Yo
Foley
Lakin.
Also.
Oh, Dave Foley,
Dave
too.
Dave Foley fans, Kids in the
Kids
Hall.
Kids in the Hall.
All right, back News to Radio. Christine Lakin.
You can find me on all social at Yo Lakin.
You can find me at Alec Ludd.
You can find me at Stephen Ray Morris.
Dave, thanks again so much for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey.
I had a real nice time.
I'm sure it's just like every other Wednesday when you come over and
exactly.
eat, but no, I made you talk
me,
and do things.
I bring
things.
Beer, and your dogs assault me.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, I gotta go home.
thanks for listening. You can find us on social media at Worst Ever Podcast and at Worst Ever PC on Twitter. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to love or hate us, don't forget to email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time. Thank you.